Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Like computers, our minds can store billions of memories. It's vital that we get God's Word into our mental hard drives. We don't become spiritually mature by osmosis. We must feed from the Bible every day. Today, the nitty-gritty of meditating in the Scriptures, how to make sure your mind is directed by the Word of God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on disciplines of the soul. We're in Psalm 1, learning about the discipline of meditation and what we're to do while meditating.
We analyze. Secondly, we personalize. We say, how should this change me today? And this is most important. We do not leave this passage until we have something for today. We don't leave it until there's something for today. Let me give you an example of yesterday. Yesterday, I happened to go running. And before I went running, I'm reading through the Psalms every month, but I'm also reading other passages of Scripture. So I was in Revelation, and I was just struck by the verse of Scripture that talked about the church at Sardis. It says, there are some among you who have not defiled their garments. And I was thinking to myself, now, what is Jesus talking about there? And then a little later on, those whom I love, I chastise. And then later on in the next paragraph where he's talking about Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and have fellowship with him. That's written to Christians, not the unsaved, as the verse is often used. And you begin to think of what fellowship with the Lord really means, and you begin to think about that. And some of these verses just stuck to my mind like a burr on a trench coat. And so as I was running, contemplating the whole time. Why? Because I said, I'm not leaving this passage until there is something here for me. That's the key. Now, what you need to do is to get up earlier in the morning, at least 15 minutes earlier. Some of you just need to prove the power of mind over mattress. And what you'll discover, God will make the time up to you. He really will. 15 minutes of sleep in the morning. Some people, they stay in bed until the very last second when they absolutely, totally have to get out of bed. And if not, miss a bus or a train or whatever. Why not give God 15 of those minutes? So you analyze, you personalize, and you memorize. You memorize. I'm not saying memorizing a whole verse, though that may be very easy on occasion, but you're memorizing the phrases and the ideas of Scripture, because remember, you are not leaving this word without something for your soul for that day. And so what you do is you memorize. How do you meditate? You analyze, you personalize, you memorize, and every day you come back for something more. I want to tell you today that if you were to do this for a month, some of you who have not been able to get over anxiety and anger and impurity and all kinds of other things that swirl around in your restless soul, you discover the transforming power of God's holy word. Do you remember that story I've told you before about the people who were in Europe and they came back with a jewelry box? And they were told when they bought it in France that it was supposed to glow in the dark. And so they put it in their bedroom and it did not glow in the dark until a French friend, someone who could read French, looked at the box and read the instructions, and it says, put me in the sunlight during the day and I will glow at night. So they put it in the sunlight during the day and it glowed at night. Do you and I want to be able to glow in the dark? You and I want to be able to walk with God in the darkness when it seems as if God has turned his face and when everything just keeps being pelted at us and going the wrong way. Do we want to be able to walk with God? You meditate in the law of God in the sunlight, and we can glow in the dark. We've spoken about such things as contemplation, meditation. End your time with God with celebration. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. What you want to do is you want to lay hold now of the scripture. You determine today that you're going to live for God. By the way, I usually do this before I hop out of bed in the morning. As soon as I wake up, I say, today, God, I give you my day. Today, God, I give you myself. Everything that pertains to me today, God, is yours. You want to lay everything before God before the day begins, because after it begins, it may be too late. And so you go through that time of celebration, the time of thanksgiving to God, a time of affirming what you have learned in the scriptures. You see, what will happen is now, suddenly your soul is going to be filled with God's word, and what is going to happen is God's word is going to take all of those other thoughts that you've been trying to get rid of for the last 10 years and squeeze them out until you begin to meditate in the law of God during the day and during the night. Oh, for some of you, it's going to be a tremendous struggle. The devil is going to say, finally, they're on to it. Let's get them. You'll miss one day and you'll say, well, I missed one day. Why bother? No, I don't care how many days you miss. You do it again and again and again and again and again and again. I don't have to say that again, do I? How powerful is the Word of God? My wife and I have a friend whose name is Tom. About 25 years ago, we got to know him, and his wife had a severe form of cancer. I say severe because always it is severe, but her pain was excruciating. And she died at home. And I remember as we counseled him during this period of time, he seemed to be so accepting of it. His wife seemed to be so accepting of it. And one day I said to him, I said, Tom, how do you do this? Aren't you angry with God? Aren't you filled with fear? Aren't you filled with apprehension? You know, what's going on? He said, no. He said, I read the Bible to my wife chapter after chapter. And then he said, we bought the New Testament on records. Those were in the days before cassettes even. He said, we bought the New Testament on record. And he says, we played these in our home hour by hour. And the Word of God squeezed out the fear and the bitterness and the anger. That's the transforming power. That's meditating in the law of God during the day and during the night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth its fruit. And God says to you today and to me, are you willing? Are you willing for the good of your soul to discipline yourself? The discipline of meditation. How powerful is God's word? I want you to know that I have more confidence in God's word than I do human arguments. I've taught apologetics based on philosophy, arguing for the Christian faith, but at the end of the day, it doesn't convince atheists. One day I met an atheist right over here at Mitchell's, and we had a wonderful conversation. You know, if I'd have said to him, you realize, of course, that atheism doesn't make sense, and it doesn't. Can't account for human life. It most assuredly can't account for the human soul. But more than that, out of atheism, no morality whatever can arise. You know, the reason that atheists are moral is not because they're atheists. They're created in God's image. And therefore, out of atheism, you can prove logically and rationally no morality whatever can arise. Atheism is hopelessly, hopelessly bankrupt intellectually, not to mention the other ways. Now, if I'd have said all that to him, do you think he'd have said, oh, really? I hadn't thought of that before. I believe. Today I'm going to get saved. Of course not. Convince a person against his will, he'll be of the same opinion still. The issue isn't atheism. The issue is a dark heart that's determined not to believe. So what did I do? What should you do if you're here today as a skeptic? What should you tell your skeptic friends? Well, I'll tell you what I told them. I said, do you know, in light of the fact that this is a rather important issue, are you willing to have a 21-day experiment? 21-day experiment. Well, of course, he said, well, what does it involve? That was a good question. I said, what I want you to do is to take John's Gospel in the New Testament. There's 21 chapters. I want you to read a chapter a day. And before you read it, just simply say, God, I don't believe you're there. I don't believe in you. But if you're real, show me. Show me who Jesus is. You know something? Most atheists don't take that challenge, and I'll tell you why. There's something within them that says, if I get that close to Jesus, I might end up believing. But you know, for those who do, there's a transformation. They begin to say, I became intrigued with this man. Who in the world speaks like this person speaks? Who is this person called Jesus who can say these astounding things, who can make these unbelievable claims of deity and power? Wow. And what happens is the Word of God begins to grow in their souls, and they can't get away from it until they say, He is the Savior of the world, and I believe. It's the power, the transforming power of God. The Bible says, by His own Word He begat us through the Word of truth. And some of us think we can live day after day after day after day with no input from that which God has chosen to bless and that which God uses to transform us from the inside out. In His law, He meditates day and night. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he does prospers. But as for the wicked, they're not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. And that's the difference between those who meditate in the law of God and those who don't. Above all things, this is the NIV translation, above all things, guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. Blessed are those who fill their minds with God's most holy word.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Could I ask you a question? Are you blessed as a result of the ministry of Running to Win? Has your own soul been instructed and edified? If so, the answer is because of people just like you who have contributed to this ministry. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner? Very quickly. Hope that you have a pen or pencil handy. Here's how you can find some info. You go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com, or you can pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-215-5001.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding his message, The Discipline of Meditation, the first of four messages on the disciplines of the soul, four ways to get close to God. Next time, we'll turn to the discipline of prayer. Disciplines of the Soul is more than a series, it's a set of CDs with all four messages by Pastor Lutzer. We'd like to send it as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.